Stem cell science is changing medicine and our understanding of human development. Learn more with the Stem Cell Channel. Visit uctv.tv/stemcell.
It's a special honor and a pleasure to be here, you know, for two reasons and more, you know. Then as a true pioneer of the off-the-shelf cell therapy, you know, it's one of the major topics of what I'm going to talk today. So be here like means something special to me, myself. And also the type of cell I'm working with, you heard the term NKT, and I'll tell you, you know, a few other more, like we are also working with, belongs to this unconventional T cells. And we do have another pioneer working on that, you know, Dr. Mitch Kronberg sitting over here, right in this room, and many other labs at this institution in the La Jolla area are working, you know, on the type of cells in this area and the cell-based therapy. So, like, it's a true pleasure over here. Today, I'm going to talk about my disclosure, and then cancer immunotherapy, right? So like cancer is obviously a very significant, you know, health challenge, like for US, for the world, and cancer immunotherapy becoming the fifth pillar of standard cancer care, like especially starting in the last like 15 years. And among those two, you know, outstanding breakthrough, and one of that is cell therapy, cell-based therapy, right? And especially CAR-T, you know, chimeric antigen receptor, you know, engineered T-cell therapy. So far, there are 7 FDA-approved CAR-T cell product. It's revolutionized the treatment, you know, of a couple of blood cancers, and there are more, you know, in the pipeline. You check the clinical trial, dr.gov, there's over 2,000 clinical trials testing various kind of CAR-T, you know, therapies nowadays. And here's a positive side, but here is the daunting side, right? So far, there's not successful yet. There are promise, but not very clear, you know, a kind of a successful example. There's nothing approved yet, you know, for treating solid tumor. And all the approved ones, including this 7 I mentioned to you, it's all autologous, you know, therapy, which means like patient being treated like one by one, and as shown over here, that you need to draw blood, you need to engineer the cells, and the entire, you know, effort will only serve that single patient, right? And for the reason, like for immunology, we talk about this mismatch, you know, of the MHC, and so that you cannot just freely transfer a T cell from one person to another without causing, you know, problem. Okay, and all of those associated with this high cost, right? So the current, well, this is a lower number, actually, $300,000. So if you look at all the price, you know, for the 7 FDA-approved cell product, it's ranging from $300,000 to $500,000. So it's very, you know, pricey, you know, cost. And it's labor-intensive. It's time-consuming to make. It may not work for everybody because the manufacturing may fail, or, you know, for some cases. For all of those, you are thinking about, based on the promise and also for the challenge, is that something we can do to make the next generation of cell therapy, right? So, like, we will hope that can be happening. And we chose to, you know, look for new type of T cells. Maybe there's something beyond the conventional T cells we can look at. And we want those cells to be potent. We also want the cell to have this off-the-shelf potential so that we can move away from this autologous therapy limitation, right? So my lab at UCLA, here is exactly one major direction we're focusing on. We are trying to develop off-the-shelf, you know, immune cell therapy by harnessing a special, you know, group of T cells. And what are those T cells? So as mentioned, that all the current CAR T cell therapy based on this conventional, you know, T cells, right? When we talk about the killer T cells, when we talk about the helper T cells, those are what we know, you know, mentioned T cell most of the time. And they are predominant population in blood. They comprise over 90%, you know, of the T cells over there. They recognize protein antigen, right? they recognize protein antigen, breaking down into pieces, and then load onto this presenting molecule called the MHC molecule. And that's exactly where the mismatch can come from. That is why every single person have a unique set of MHC molecule. T cells from that person can only match into those MHC. You just randomly give to another recipient that what may cause problem. That is the root of the problem. However, beside those, there's another group, you know, quite a large group, actually. So by cell type wide, but number wide is small, okay? So all of those compress less than 10%, you know, in the blood. And you look into that, the RT cells recognize antigen beside the protein antigen. And it turned out our body, our cells, you know, all the possible, you know, pathogen, invading pathogen, antigen, our immune system should monitor. It's more than protein, right? So, for instance, this NKT cells I'm going to focus on talking about today. The name, you know, people call it invariant natural killer T cells, you know, or NKT cells, INKT, NKT cells. They recognize something not protein. They recognize lipid antigen, right? Lipid is also a pretty, you know, big compartment, you know, compose our body and the cellular compartment. And those lipid antigen can load onto, you know, molecule similar structure, you know, like MHC. They are called CD1D molecule in this case, okay? And here is the, you know, catch. CD1D molecule, unlike the classical MHC molecule, it's non-polymorphic. So it's one single CD1D molecule, in me, in you, you know, everybody in this room, and across the world, it's the same one. Okay, so what does that mean? That means, like, the type of T cell, NKT cells, if we can make those cells as a therapeutic cell carrier, it's safe to transfer between people because there's no mismatch. We do have the same CD1D. Okay, keep that in mind. And beyond that, this unconventional T cell, especially NKT cell, they are multifunctional. So they are born as a memory effector type. They are ready to fight already, okay, if you can make them. And they carry on their surface as a unique T cell receptor, can recognize something, you know, it's CD1D matched, some tumor are already CD1D positive, okay, so that they can tackle it already. If you give a CAR, you automatically have like two, you know, weapons already. And remember, there's a name NK, you know, in their name, the for reason, because they also express tons of those NK cell, you know, fighting, you know, weapons on the surface. So like altogether, see, they are equipped with multiple, you know, weapons and can attack a tumor with multiple, you know, mechanism. And that's quite important because that the immune evasion, right, is something like really a kind of a tumor play, you know, trick to get away from the immune attack. If you can tackle the tumor at multiple front, and then you can greatly reduce the possibility for the tumor to get away, okay? So, and also, the CD1D molecule, you know, turned out to be not only, you know, can be used to recognize tumor, okay, it can also be used to recognize the myeloid compartment in the tumor microenvironment. And those, you know, it's important too, because tumor microenvironment, you know, oftentimes provide this immunosuppressive, you know, signal to block the immune attack, you know, and make the tumor cell, you know, to get away from the attack. And for those, CD1D turned out to be a biomarker. And I'll show you later on, like what cell in that environment expresses and can be a target of the NKT cell, and which collectively can work together, you know, to suppress tumor growth. And those unconventional T cell, also different from the conventional T cell in a way, they are really like to be tissue residential. Okay, so conventional T cells, their major job, they survey the body, they really circulate, you know, kind of, that's why you probably see a lot of them like in the circulation. But it can be different, like for a tissue, okay? And unconventional T cells, including NKT cells and others, they take residence in the tissue. They already very good at go to tissue, infiltration tissue, and stay over there until the job is done. Okay, and again, that may be important, especially for the solid tumor and the other situations. Okay, and because the are safe to transfer across people, that gives us them the off-the-shelf, you know, possibility. Okay, so talking about all of those good things, right? So here is the daunting part. Like, they are low number, right? We mentioned that low number. But for NKT cell, that number is particularly low, like in human blood. We are talking about around 0.1%, you know, of those cells. Yes, you can try to grow them out, you know, from the donor, you know, PBMC, and grow into a cell product. It's challenging, right? And it involves the lung culture, and you may risk of exhaustion during the expansion, and the purity is always, you know, a challenge too, because you expand them from a small number, from those many, many more number of the conventional T cell. Any contamination of those conventional T cell in the final product may risk, you know, causing, you know, the problem like GVHD later on. And you want the purity to be really high, and that's technically challenging. Okay, so how do we deal with that? My lab in the past over a decade, you know, it's through three generation of PhD students, like really devoted their time and do the hard work. I see some of the undergraduate students, you know, joined in this study before sitting in this room now, you know, kind of work here at the La Jolla region. And our idea is, why not we think a little bit differently? We harness the power of stem cell, right? So, and the ultimate stem cell give rise to all the blood cell, including T cell called hematopoietic stem cell, right? Another name is the blood stem cell. How about we engineer those stem cell? And then we program those cells to become NKT cell, right? And we program it in a way to be quite effective. And we will program it in a way to be very pure, like the only committed path is to NKT. And then we can achieve number, we can achieve purity, right? And because the stem cell, you know, especially hematopoietic stem cell, really have good ability to accept gene engineering, we can think about the gene engineering we give to it to make the most powerful and suitable, you know, CAR NKT cells for the use. And I'll show you like what we have done and what the outcome, you know, look like. So here is the technology platform now. We chose to use cord blood as a resource of the hematopoietic stem cell because cord blood is good commercially available. There's a stable, you know, available supply chain existing, you know, to obtain, you know, those cells. And I mean, there's always baby to be born in the world. So the cord blood, you know, a kind of a resource is a, you know, quite a reliable resource. One single cord blood donor, you know, gave a range of number, you know, of those hematopoietic stem cells, use a marker identified as CD34, okay? And averagely, you know, it's around get 5 million, you know, of those cells to start with. Is that enough, you know, for a therapeutic dose? Absolutely not, right? We need to think about a massive expansion, you know, from that source to the outcome on NKT cells. So we have devised this culture, it's ex vivo. It's HSPC-derived NKT cell culture. It's a streamlined six-week culture. Okay, it's feeder-free and serum-free during this major differentiation, you know, step. And we incorporate the gene engineering step at the very beginning. Okay, this will also help us for practical wide because we are dealing with a very small number of cells to start with. We chose to use one single lentiviral vector, deliver the essential, you know, programming gene to be there. Turned out to be the T cell receptor gene. The iNKT T cell receptor gene is the key gene. If we give it to the hematopoietic stem cell early enough, and then we put the cell into this culture, driving them down the path of T cell differentiation. The transgenic iNKT T cell receptor what gave the instruction to make sure that the cell become an NKT cell at the end. Okay, and because the gene delivery capacity of lentivector, we can co-deliver other cargo genes. And of course, one favorite cargo will be CAR, right? So like we put a chimeric antigen receptor gene over there, then we can direct the cell product to target, you know, whatever the disease, you know, indication, in this case, the cancer, you know, type. And we still have space over there to incorporate additional, you know, genes. And why not think about give something immune regulatory enhancement gene really can help the NK T cell function to fight the tumor. And that's a group of candidates you can consider. And one of the ones like we, you know, elected to move first forward called IL-15. IL-15 is a cytokine NK T cell really like. I guess NK cell also really like IL-15, right? But giving it to them, and then the cell will carry their own enhancement genes and really help the product to perform, okay? And the question is that, do we need to design this culture process and engineering differently for every single, you know, disease target we change? We want to target this tumor, we change CARs. Do we need to redesign this whole thing every single time? Fortunately, the answer is no, okay? Once we set up this whole culture process, we only need to change the lentivector. And the culture is the same. We tried a bunch of, you know, the CARs we can collect cover many, you know, blood cancer target as well as the known target for the solid tumors, and we can successfully make all of those CAR NKT product. And here shows that, you know, stepwise development, we should, like, if we put NKT, you know, transgene delivery into the system, we can grow out very pure NKT cell over the 6 weeks. If we co-deliver a CAR, we can grow NKT cell, not co-express CAR, okay? And if we give L15, in addition to that, we can grow CAR NKT cell, co-express L15, okay? And the product is very pure, as you can see over here. All the cell outcome, there's no need to incorporate any purification step either at the end or in the intermediate step. It's a one stream of the culture, okay? We isolate the cord blood CD34-HSC, do that one time of the gene engineering using lentivector, and we dump into this culture, 6 weeks later, collect the entire product. And the product can be cryopreserved, and they survive cryopreservation and recovery pretty well. So like we just collect everything, and you can freeze down, and then that's the cell product. So all the characterization I'm going to show you behind this is based on the cryo-recovered product. Okay, very well, you know, if you look deeper into the, you know, genomic level and molecular level about this whole differentiation process here is if you're tracking timeline, you know, for the single cell RNA-seq analysis, you can see, you know, the cell, you know, CD34 positive HSC has many potential at the beginning to become all kind of blood cell. But along the culture condition define them to go down the T cell path, and they become this very pure population of the T cells at the end. And the product wide, you know, I told you it's pure, but is that really like the most, you know, important thing is that we do not want any of the randomly recombined conventional T cell receptor to be there, because that gives you the risk of GVHD. And here is for the single cell level of the TCR, you know, sequencing at the genomic level, and we can show that the product indeed really pure. We didn't detect the randomly recombined TCR. The only TCR to be there is the TCR we give to them at the beginning. It's encoding this NKT T cell receptor. Okay, and then the here is the whole genome, you know, the deep RNA-seq analysis to study the nature, you know, what exactly whole, like 22,000 gene, you know, analysis, like how they look like. And the positioning over here, PCA plot, you know, show them far away from NK cells. So they are indeed, you know, at the T cell side. Okay, and along the T cell side, if you look at which one they most closely resemble, NKT cells. OK, Okay, and then the phenotype of that, if you look at that, they are pretty typical, you know, NKT cells. Okay, they express TCR, they express, you know, the co-receptor, and then they express this very, you know, potent effector function phenotype, which means they secrete a lot of effect, you know, cytokines. They make a lot of cytotoxic molecules. So they are powerful killer and the effector cells. Okay, mechanism of action. I mentioned at the beginning that the one thing we like those cell carrier, because they themselves, remember, they have this T cell receptor, can recognize the CD1D positive target already. And that's a group of myeloid lineage and the B cell lineage of the blood cancer. They do express CD1D. That's a few of this solid tumor, you know, express CD1D. Okay, and then plus the CAR, that's what two weapon, you know, to use, right? And those cells express tons of those NK, you know, receptor can recognize the NK ligands, which abundantly expressed on almost all tumor cells, especially on the solid tumor cells. So that can be a third, you know, group of weapon. So that's, you know, three mechanisms over there. And some tumor, even though they are not CD1D positive, that they still have CAR, they still have those NK, you know, ligand to do the job. So here that take one example as multiple myeloma, you know, cancer patient that we collect the primary patient sample, you know, and then we analyze the surface markers. Indeed, in this particular cancer type, we find all three, you know, mechanism will work, right? Because the tumor express the CAR antigen, in this case BCMA, and they express CD1D, they express, you know, a lot of those NK, you know, receptor ligand. Okay, and then here shows that in the combination of that, you know, makes them actually have certain advantage compared to pure CAR T cells because of additional weapon and this really ready to go effect memory and powerful killing function they already have. Those are in vitro killing, right? So whether those cells can perform in vivo and do the job right. And here is that the model we use for modeling the human multiple, you know, myeloma, NSG mice, human multiple myeloma tumor cell engrafted. And here, like, we label the tumor cells with luciferase, you know, so that you can visualize it using the live animal image, right? So, like, whatever you can see, you know, light up over here, those are the tumor. And this pretty faithfully model the nature of multiple, you know, myeloma, because you can see all tumor go to the bone, they will live in the bone marrow over there. Okay, and here is that by monitoring that, we can, you know, measure the efficacy of the tumor killing. And I would just point out to the conclusion over here. So we side by side compared the conventional, you know, BCMA targeting CAR T cells. It's over here, the green, you know, kind of a color and the line. And then we have the two type of the product from the CAR NKT, you know, being compared over here. One is without L15 enhancement in blue, and the one with L15 enhancement in red. And the one with the enhancement perform the best, okay? And in that case, it's really a kind of a clear tumor. And leave the mice, you know, live long enough. And CAR T cells, you know, in this case didn't clear everything, you know, so, and the mice kind of die in a mixture of both, you know, residual tumor growth, as well as GVHD. Remember the GVHD risk we talk about, that's prevent the conventional CAR T to be off the shelf, and here is a clear demonstration of that risk is indeed true over there. Okay, how about the therapeutical cells, right? So where are they? Can they really are kind of, as mentioned, they have this tissue infiltration, residential, they can find a tumor and do their work, you know, right? Is that indeed the case, right? How do we see that? And we adapt the same, you know, in vivo model, but we use a kind of a mirror imaging approach, okay? Remember that what I just showed you, I mentioned that we label the tumor cell, whatever light up a tumor cell, right? So in this particular experiment, everything is still over there. Okay, tumor as well, therapeutic cell is exactly the same dose, same injection route, and the same timeline, okay? The difference is now we label the therapeutic cells. We label the CAR-NKT and the control CAR-T, you know, cells over there. So whatever you see light up over here, those are the therapeutic cells. So what do we see? Okay, this allows us to tracking persistence. This alone allows us to tracking the homing. Right. This also allows us to tracking whether we see a clonal expansion of those therapeutic cells after they see, you know, tumor over there. It's very, very important why I emphasize this. If there's one single biological correlation to predict whether a patient receive CAR T cell therapy, well, be successful at the end, really benefit from that therapy, is clonal expansion. If you see the CAR T cells in that patient persistent clonal expand, you see a beneficial outcome. You don't see that, you know, you don't see, you know, clear, you know, there's no clear, you know, prediction at the end. Do we see the clonal expansion? Okay, so I want you to focus on this red line over here. Remember, this red color indicates the L15 enhanced CAR-NKT, which is the preferred, you know, a kind of a design of the CAR-NKT, you know, product. You see a very beautiful clonal expansion that associated with, remember, going back to the efficacy, that shows a very clear clearance of the tumor, right? Okay. And also important, after the tumor cleared, if the cell non-stoppingly just proliferation and the hang around, that's a problem, right? You worry about the safety. They do calm down after the tumor clearance. But they're not totally gone, okay? So there's some hang around, you know, over there. So that is the stage over here. You can see the time course. Even at the very end, you see some residual cells still hang around really long, you know. Those are kind of long-term memory, you know, they preserve over there. And for some of these mice, we tried the secondary tumor challenge. We give the tumor cells again. The remaining cell respond again. You see a second, you know, wave of the clonal expansion. So just to show you the design, allow them to persist, clonal expand, form a memory, and have this long-term, you know, ability. And where are they, right? Here is an enlarged, you know, version to show you where they are. In the bone marrow. That is where the multiple myeloma tumor cells go, right? So they do know where the tumor are. They do know, you know, go there. And they do a clean job over there. Not like the CAR T cell. That's what CAR T cell do. CAR T cell go to the bone marrow, do the job, and then quickly, you know, they mount this GVHD, start to attacking everywhere. That's why you see this entire mice is light up, you know, over there. And by the time they almost, you know, a kind of have a death sentence, you know, to go down the way. Seems the cell, you know, they show good efficacy. You know, the kinetic study shows that they indeed, you know, home, persist, clonal expand and do the job, you know, as expected. And there's a lot of more, you know, further detailed gene profiling we performed to fully understand at the genomic level, you know, molecular level, like what's going on, why we see the phenotype we see, right? So like it's, we collected the samples from the experimental mice, you know, sequential wide along the timeline, and then we fractionate the cells, and then we performed the single cell RNA-seq. So like we're able to tracking, you know, what happened to the therapeutic cell and what happened to the tumor cell along the way. And here is just a, you know, combined analysis to show you, like we can grossly, for instance, you know, collect the therapeutic cells, split them into the different stage, right? There's a proliferating stage, resting stage, there's a effect memory stage, that's more exhausting, like not so functional, you know, stage. And those are can be all analyzed and compared across, you know, the different type of the cell product. In particular, we want to compare what happened to the CAR-NKT product versus the CAR-T product and across the different, you know, organ and the region. So those in tumor site, okay, data shows over here. I probably point your attention to this last, you know, a kind of a pie structure over here. And here is a CAR-NKT. Here is a CAR-T. And you can see a quite enlarged subpopulation number, I believe number two, right? That, and what are number two? You read it over there. Those are the effect on the memory population. So those is probably the reason, like, gave them this quite, you know, powerful, like, efficacy readout. Okay. And more analysis, you know, the dynamic, you know, analysis show you that indeed, you know, if you look at those, the transition between the different stages, and the CAR and NKT cell have a ability to hang around at this cluster number two. Again, it's effect memory, you know, cluster longer. Okay, they can stay there longer, and the CAR T cell have a tendency to slip quickly, you know, into that more exhaustion, you know, a kind of a stage. Okay, and the pathway analysis shows that it's CAR and NKT cells enriched for the proliferation, effect function, all of those good things correlated with that performance, and indeed, IL-15, you know, is really helping them, and the IL-15 pathway is kind of enriched, of course, because of that. I mentioned to you at the beginning that the multiple targeting, you know, capacity of the CAR NKT platform is what we really, you know, like, you know, because it can have the potential, you know, to counteract with the tumor evasion. Is that indeed the case? Okay, in this multiple myeloma, you know, model, like we collect the tumor cells at the very end, okay, after the long fighting between the tumor cell and the therapeutic cells. And we analyze this CAR antigen, right? CAR antigen here is a BCMA. So look what happened. So for the blue one over here, that's conventional CAR T, right? You see even in preclinical animal model in 1 month, you see this downregulation of the BCMA in that tumor cell already. And it's no surprise, because this is what people see in cancer patient, multiple myeloma patient. Okay. And if you look at the CAR NKT, you know, treated tumor cells, you don't see that. Okay. And we can, you know, imagine that maybe because that tumor now and the CAR mediated attack and TCR, CD1 mediated attack, as well as this around, you know, a dozen, you know, of the NK, you know, receptor, right? NK ligand, you know, mediated attack. And maybe that's why the tumor have no way to get around. Okay, so the tumor microenvironment, again, we mentioned at the beginning, says that the unconventional cell, like NKT cell over there, they have a way to modulate and reshape the tumor microenvironment. Why? Through whatever they can recognize, right? And what NKT cell recognize? They recognize CD1d molecule. So if we fractionate the tumor microenvironment and see what cell express CD1d, then we may identify the target, you know, of the NKT cells. And we'll see whether those cells even matter or not, you know, to a anti-tumor immune response, right? In this case, we take the, again, primary multiple myeloma, you know, patient sample. We use a flow cytometry, fractionate the cell, and anything towards, you know, other cell composition. And you can find, you know, many of those. You will find the conventional T cells for it. You will find the NK cells. You'll find the B cells. You'll find the a lot of myeloid cells. You'll find granulocytes. Okay, so if you look at CD1d expression, there are two populations really standing out, express a high level of CD1d. What are those? One is tumor-associated macrophages. Another is myeloid-derived suppressive cells. Those cells are the, you know, culprit, like in the tumor microenvironment, they are the one really kind of provide this major immunosuppressive function, right? So there's many, you know, cancer immunotherapy strategy trying to tackle that part. And guess what? The CAR NKT cells through their T cell receptor, those are their natural target. Okay, so do they really can do anything, you know, even after they see that? So if we mix the primary samples with CAR NKT cells, overnight, it can happen as quick as 12 hours, actually. Okay, but if you analyze at 24 hours, this is what you see. CAR NKT cells very effectively deplete 10, deplete MDSC, but leave the other things untouched. Right? So you still want, you can preserve the other anti-tumor immunity, but you make this, you know, major immunosuppressive gone. So this looks promising, but again, it happened in a dish. Is that indeed in a, you know, in vivo, in a tissue, right? The NKT cell can still, you know, kind of navigating around, find the time, find MDSC, and do that job, okay? So we look into the in vivo model, you know, the same NSG model. So we give tumor, give therapeutical cells, at the end collect the whole, you know, bone marrow compartment cell back, and then we use single-cell RNA-seq to fractionate and read out, like, what happened over there. I would like to point your attention to those clusters, number 4, 5, and 6. And 4 is M2-like macrophage, so they resemble the 10, okay? And 5 is interesting. You know, it's a CRS-related macrophages. Those are the ones gave you the side effect, like a CAR T cell, you know, in therapy, gave cytokine, you know, release syndrome, okay? And then the 6 is MDSC. So blank NSG mice, this is a basal level of, they have a little bit of something. It's not really tumor-associated, but it's kind of the residential, you know, macrophage over there. After tumor challenge, without any therapeutic treatment, you see a huge enrichment of the myeloid population. Okay, that's 4, 5, 6 population. Tumor induced all of those. We all know that. And that helped tumor to grow. So they are kind of, you know, work together over there. Look at what happened to CAR T. CAR T cell have all the ability to kill tumor, but they don't do too much, you know, to this microenvironment at all. This entire, you know, myeloid population preserve over there, non-touched, okay? Look at what happened to the CAR NKT group. It's basically gone, almost, okay? And the fractionate and the look at and its quantification, and we validated using flow cytometry, and it's true. You'll see that after the CAR T cell treatment, the TAM is gone, suppressive, MDSC is gone, and the CRS-related macrophage is gone, okay? So what does that mean? Does that mean that maybe this can be a beneficial thing to control the side effect, to reduce CRS, because that's a major, you know, side effect of the CAR-mediated cell therapy, okay? So is that indeed the case? So in the model, so we measured the CRS biomarker, right? Okay, so it's CRS mediated by CAR T cells stimulate myeloid. Myeloid make all those inflammatory cytokines. There's a group of them, and the most, you know, significant one, well characterized, called L6, right? So like we do see that compared to the blue bar over here, those are CAR T induced tons of the L6, and the CAR NKT actually much reduced, right? That L6 level, another called SAA3. That's another biomarker for that. Can we read out a really phenotype-wide, you know, functional-wide, read out some consequence if we reduce that CRS, you know, reading? Is that indeed something do, you know, can be done, you know, to a living animal in this case, and maybe, you know, a kind of in patient in the future? So we use that, need a little bit more than just NSG, you know, model, you know, because you do need a functional crosstalk between the therapeutic cell and the myeloid cell, which means you need to give both compartment as a human, right? So like we need to reconstitute the human myeloid cells in the mice, you know, in order to read that phenotype out. And we did, okay? So by adopting an advanced humanized mouse model called NSG-SGM3 mice, okay? So those have the human cytokine supporting the maintenance of the human myeloid cells. And we take that mice, we gave the human CD34, you know, HSPC at the beginning in the mice to reconstitute the mice. Now we have a humanized mice, have this full compartment of the human myeloid cells. Okay, now we can read. Now if we give a tumor and then we give our therapeutic cell, we will be able to read out the real, like, meaningful interaction and the consequence of that myeloid compartment modulation. And here is a very striking results. in this case, you know, this one where you see CD19 CAR T, compared with a CAR NKT. Okay. Look at the survival curve over here. The CAR T cells kill tumor. In this case, it's a heavy tumor load. They also induce very, very strong, CRS side effect in 3 days. Those are hours, by the way. Okay. In 3 days, it kill the experimental mice. Yes, tumor are gone, but the animal, also died because of the very severe, side effect. But none of the CAR NKT treated mice died. Not only they don't die, if we try to score it, so the CRS also reflect as, fever, reflect with body loss, dehydration, and all of those, symptoms, if we can score them, it's very clear. Like, those mice, they look normal, they move around, they eat normally, drink normally, they don't drop body weight, they seem to be totally fine in this case. So we're happy to see that. And if we collect back the, bone marrow cell at the end and look, okay? And this system, by the way, besides reconstitute human myeloid cell, also reconstitute human B cells, right? So if CD19 here, human B cell is a target, you can see CAR T cells, no problem, deplete all the T cells, B cells. But look at the myeloid cells. Perfectly stay over there. Okay? That's the resource, of the CRS and what makes those cells die at the end. And look at what happened to the CAR NKT treatment. B cells are gone. Myeloid cells are gone. So there's no myeloid cell making IL-6, making those inflammatory cytokines. The CRS symptom, the side effect greatly reduced. Okay. Okay, so there's another side again. Even though I promise you there's no GVHD risk, don't worry, it's the same CD1D molecule. We still need to really read out to see indeed the case. Okay, are the cells somehow recognize, a kind of tissue, the mismatched tissue in a different way. Okay, and there's two classical, assays we performed. One is this in vitro, mixed lymphocyte reaction assay. So we just mix the allogenic off-the-shelf cell product with donor mismatched random donor PBMC and culture them, okay? So if the cell will recognize the mismatched donor cells and will respond, and then, interferon gamma will be released and it can be measured. So here shows that CAR T, of course, only the matched, pair won't really make interferon gamma, and the mismatched one show different level of the miscompatibility, and then you can see all those interferon gamma production. And for the many, we showed, 5 over here, but in reality, we did over 20, whatever the collection we have for the PBMC, collection in our lab. And it's very clear that those cells don't really mount a mismatched, a kind of a GVH response over there. And in the animal model, NSG mice, as mentioned, the mismatch and the recognition cross species, between CAR T and NKT and NSG mice, that we can see that the pretty much, get screwed up, and all of those tissue infiltration and the destruction. Okay, and then the NKT cells, it's quite safe. The mice stay alive, we keep the longest one as over a year until our animal facility told us we have to kill those mice, but they are quite healthy, kind of until then. And the HVG, risk, right? Off the shelf, that's another thing you want to worry about. Can they be rejected by the host immune system? That's not a safety concern, but it's an efficacy concern, right? If they are rejected immediately, they cannot really do their job, kind of good enough. And here is that the various, assays that we performed over here, and thus can be T-cell mediated rejection, and can be mismatched NK, mediated rejection. And here is that the assay, mixed lymphocyte reaction assay, to assay the T-cell rejection and NK truncate rejection. And I simply want to point out that compared to the conventional CAR T, that CAR-NK T cells should have reduced, you know, a kind of the HVG, you know, risk. Okay. And that correlated with what T cell recognize and reject is through the mismatched MHC molecule, right? So turned out those CAR-NK T cell express reduced surface level of the MHC molecule. Okay. They reduced for the HLA-1, you know, molecule, and almost like down-regulate the HLA-2, you know, molecule to the minimal, you know, undetectable level. And that sustained not only after we grow the cell as a cell product, it's also sustained after, you know, this whole tumor fighting in vivo in a month, you know, they still remain that, you know, low immunogenicity. And why, right? So like, is that a protein level? Is that a gene level? You know, we look at the messenger RNA, and indeed, you know, we find it's low, you know, expression of messenger RNA encoding MHC molecules. And then for NK, they recognize the NK ligand, right? So it's all pretty low, you know, on the NK T cell. And we further, you know, look into it and shows that that come from a combination effect of epigenomic modification of the cell product that they already like hypermethylate, you know, many of the region encoding those mismatched reading, you know, molecules, including the HLA, including the NK, you know, a kind of a receptor ligand, okay? And moreover, okay, so this signaling pathway also controls the upregulation of those molecules during inflammation, especially after interferon gamma induction. Okay, so we look at the interferon gamma signaling pathway. We found that the CAR-NK T cell produced by our method seems to have a desensitized interferon gamma signaling network. And it's go down to, you know, the phosphorylation of STAT1, which is the core, you know, of activating entire interferon gamma, you know, network. And that one, you know, is really compromised the phosphorylation. Okay. So it seems that's the reason why it keeps them stable, even during a fight, during an inflammatory environment, after a long interaction with tumor cell, they are able to maintain the low expression of those. Okay, so is that just for one product? You know, I mentioned to you, we are able to incorporate many, you know, different cars onto this platform, and we tried the different designs, tried the secondary generation, third generation. We tried the different signaling domain, you know, CD28 domain, 4-1BB domain, and it seems that it's all tolerable. So, like, it's quite flexible and versatile, you know, platform. And to prove that, we incorporate many, you know, you're probably, you know, some of you are working with or familiar with some of those markers, like directing to target certain blood cancer or solid tumors. And we are able to successfully make the cell product with this high, you know, efficiency. And I would like to mention about the yield. So from one single cord blood donor, remember we mentioned it started with a very small number, like 5 million, you know, HSC. We can expand the cells for 1 million fold, you know, at the end. So which gave us a trillion, like 10 to the 12 level, you know, of what does that mean? For the CAR T, you know, therapy or cell therapy nowadays, like 10 to the 8 to 10 to the 9 is usually the range, you know, for the dose. We can make 1,000 to 10,000 dose from one single cord blood donor. So that make it practical to end clinical and maybe commercialized in the future, right? Okay. Okay, so we didn't stop over there. That's HSC. Can we think about to produce an unlimited supply from an unlimited resource in the future? There is a possibility, right? The iPSC, which like Dr. Dan Kaufman, you know, has been really a kind of a pioneering for differentiation, you know, iPSC, you know, down to the mature and functional immune cells. And we tried that, okay? So we can start with the iPSC, and we can differentiate iPSC to HSC, and then downstream to the client KT cells. And we are able to do that. And we're packing up the results for publication, hopefully, you know, this year, you will see those results. And by doing that, we can open up, you know, to the supply end, right? And is that NKT cells are the only cell, you know, can be think about and utilized, you know, for develop this off-the-shelf immune cell therapy? No, there are more, right? So like Dr. Mitch Kronberg sitting over there, and it's really expert pioneer study made cells, mucosal associated invariant T cells. And those are very powerful cells and interesting, and they repopulate the mucosal system. Can be think about it, you know, to tackle, you know, diseases in the GI tract, you know, mucosal system, like all the cancers, autoimmune disease. So those are of interest, right? And there's another group called gamma delta T cell. Those are also unconventional T cell. Also do not have GVHD risk. They also recognize non-protein antigen, which may be of interest for a tackle a series of the, you know, disease, including tumor, especially solid tumor. So all of those, like, we are, you know, a kind of expanding our research to work with. And it's cancer the only disease we can target? Of course not, right? Then by targeting, you know, B cell, autoreactive B cell, antibody, you know, all those, we can tackle the autoimmune disease, which the autologous CAR T therapy, you know, have been pioneering right now, right? Okay, and also that's infectious disease. If we find the proper antigen, define the, you know, CAR, define, we can, you know, tackle those diseases too. So it's a decades journey. You know, take us long. That it's 10 years again, the three generation of the graduate student and the many undergraduate student, and we are here. And we think we are at the stage already, you know, to really to move into clinical and really test the real potential, you know, of this platform. And we are having the IND, you know, enabling study going on, and the two lead product are moving on right now for the blood cancer. We're targeting multiple myeloma, you know, as I showed you the majority of the data for targeting BCMA that can also extend to treat the autoimmune disease once the product is made, because that is off the shelf. It will be able, it's off the shelf, it's allogenic, it can be treating, you know, any fitting patient. And for the solid tumor, like, we have a couple of candidate, you know, lining up, but the mesothelin targeting one is the one, like, probably move the earliest. Okay, I'll stop over here. Thank you, my lab, many, you know, generations of the trainees, you know, and the current lab members, you know, for making this possible, and my collaborator, my funding, you know, support. And I'll stop over here, and I also thank you, you know, for your attention, bearing with me in this early morning, you know, seminar, and I'll be happy, you know, to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
A lot of interesting things and a lot of ideas. You find your cells kill off the myeloid cells, the MDSCs and such,
yes,
right? But so this is sort of like the NK cells, right? So NK cells don't go around killing your own normal cells.
Right.
So, and presumably normal NKT cells aren't going around killing all these myeloid cells, which have high expression of the CD1.
Yep. Yep.
So is it because you're adding the IL-15 or something that these are more active that they're killing those myeloid cells, or, you know, why does that happen, right, as opposed to...
Then that's a very, very good question. You would worry if you give, you know, a patient this cells and they will wipe out of their myeloid cell. That's not good, right? Because we do need a macrophage, you know, do their normal job sometimes. Okay, so I can give you data from this particular model, like, we are studying. So we see the depletion of the myeloid cell in tumor microenvironment. We don't see the depletion of the myeloid cells in the non-tumor tissues, including the peritoneal cavity, you know, and including spleen, you know, including lung. We don't see that. Okay, I can think about two reasons why this happened. One is that the CD1D expression level, okay, see, CD1D confined to express normally in myeloid, you know, department. But it's only significantly upregulated when the myeloid cell fully differentiate and enter that inflammatory or activation stage. Mm-hmm. So if you compare to the CD1D level, that quiescent and the tissue residential one, they express low level. Okay, only like this tumor interacting one, that one express sky high. So that can make a cutoff maybe, you know, so kill or not kill, right? And one more, another very important reason, location, right? So like the therapeutic cell, by giving a CAR, they know where they go. In this case, they go to the, you know, multiple myeloma residential, you know, bone marrow area. Okay, in we did the ovarian cancer that confined in the peritoneal cavity. Mm-hmm. Then they go to peritoneal cavity. So I guess it's a combination of the detection, you know, sensitivity to distinguish the fully, you know, a kind of differentiated in action, you know, myeloid cell versus the quiescent staying, you know, tissue residential and the maintenance myeloid cell. Also the location, you know, of the therapeutic cell will make a difference.
Beautiful work. I'm curious about, you may have touched on it in the beginning, but is IL-15, you know, do you think that's going to be the most potent, like, engineering moiety, or would there be other cytokines or transcription factors that could also have maybe different or more selective effects?
A very good question. And the answer is, we certainly love IL-15, and for many good reasons, and also IL-15 engineered into therapeutic cell, you know, in particular NKT platform, you know, has been tested to be safe in clinical. So, I mean, it's powerful, useful, and safe. Then that's probably the reason we picked the first to go. Is that the only thing you can give to NKT cells? Of course not. There's a long list you can think about can help NKT cells. Many are overlapping with NK cells, you know. So, like, but, I mean, the regular toolbox, you know, everybody are considering, and it's currently in various stages of the preclinical or clinical development you can think about, right? L21, L18, L12, and more, you know, so that's certainly more you can think about.
One thing I'm wondering about is those DCs have very high levels of CD1D also, generally, at least when other people have measured that. So do you see an effect on CDC1 or other dendritic cell types, which might have a counter effect, although it's good that you eliminate the myeloid suppressors?
And that's a very, very good question. We actually worried at the beginning, also, wow, it will wipe out of the dendritic cell too. I mean, it's missing, you know, something for fighting tumor, right, later. So look at the data over here. That's population number 2 is DC. Okay, so the color is, well, I need to, okay, so the color is 2 over here. That is, one is spelled. Okay, so, well, we have another way to measure, but basically you can see other things are gone. Those populations are not wiped out as much as the myeloid cells. Why? You know, we wonder, right? So, looking to literature, and interestingly, it's seeing that, well, DC as the most powerful APC naturally also makes them a target for even for CD8 T cells. Why they still can do their job, right? So there's some self-defense mechanism for DC, and including the overexpression, very specifically so unique, just in the DC population, gene encoding an enzyme to degrade granzyme B. Yeah, so like that's almost like it's, you are shooting missiles and something, you know, to just eject the missiles. You know. So those gene, you know, that particular gene, if we plot it onto this single cell RNA-seq data, it very specifically land at the DC population, and that's upregulated in DC in the after the treatment of CAR NKT. So it seems the same defense mechanism keep the dendritic cell being able to hang around, you know, kind of doing this the normal job in a normal, like, immune reaction. It also exists when CAR NKT cell, you know, appeared in that environment. They are able to defend themselves at least to certain levels.